It wouldn't have taken but about half a second more of that song to just go another way for a few minutes. And I just want to, even without the music being, music helps, doesn't it? But we don't have to have the music, just like we don't have to have lights, just like we don't have to have smoke or mirrors or anything like that. The Holy Spirit does not need atmosphere. He is the atmosphere. He is the atmosphere. And I guess sometimes it's good to say it without the music, but the truth, and will encourage you, of course, we all have difficult times. But our response to God should not change, because He doesn't change. As a matter of fact, we should dig into that and settle into that, because if you don't, then the enemy will peg you on that. And if He's only God of your past and maybe God of your present, how can He be God of your future? He's got to be God of all of it. He's got to be who He is. So you can serve the enemy. Notice that whatever is coming, God already has me. I belong to Him. It's not because of some offering that I sowed. It's not because of something that I did. It's because of who He is. That's the goodness of God. You can't buy Him out. You can't buy favor. He's not like that. He's a good God. He's just. He's fair. He's honest. He's true. Spirit, mind, and body. I've said this many times, spirit, mind, and flesh. But I think it's easier just to say my body. My body. Spirit. This is review for a lot of you guys. Don't get bored. Just look at your neighbor and tell them this will help you. tell them I got this, but it'll help you. Isn't that horrible? When I got saved, my spirit got saved. I'm telling you what somebody preached to me about 20, 25 years ago, and it changed my life when I got this concept that I'm about to share with you. And I think that a lot of you have got this, because I've given it to you so many times, but I want to tie it into this morning. When I got saved, my spirit got saved. We've been spending Saturday mornings in Galatians. And let me say to my son-in-law, thank you for pinch hitting real quick for me last Sunday. I had that norovirus, I don't know about y'all's norovirus, if you had it or not, but mine came straight from hell. It was one of the most violent things I've ever, whoo, and I have never been that sick. And I said this of it, I said, I knew, I had heard that COVID could kill you. I thought this was going to. It was rough. It was the roughest several hours that I've been through in my life. So thank you, Logan, for speaking last week. And Alan filled in on Saturday. Thank you, Alan. You guys are just amazing. But we've been on Galatians, and I'm going to tie in some things from Galatians this morning. But according to Galatians 3 and 4, this thing was started in the Spirit. This whole thing, my salvation, it was started in the Spirit. So when I got saved, my spirit got saved. My mind, according to Scripture, my mind is being saved. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So my spirit is saved, but my mind is being saved, and I have to renew my mind. And you do too. We don't just get saved and all of a sudden our mind has a whole different mindset and we're on it, and nothing bad ever comes through our mind. How many of you know that your mind is a filter, and you decide what you hold on to and what you let go? And everything that goes through your mind is not saved, is it? That's why we renew our mind, according to Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind, it actually takes your mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and it sets it into the realm of the mind of Christ. And we have to renew that because we can't hold on to that. We have to renew that as often as that needs to take place. But my spirit is still saved. My mind is being saved. Now my body, here's some good old Southern vernacular, even an apostrophe, ain't not. That's a contraction, ain't not. Your body ain't saved. Paul said, I beat my body into submission. Didn't he say that? Your body still knows how to do everything it did before you were saved. My spirit is saved. My mind is being saved. My body ain't saved. My flesh. That's why the Bible talks about the spirit versus the body, or the spirit versus the flesh, and how that the battle, it says that these two are always at war with each other, and it won't change. That's proof right there that your body's not saved, but your spirit is saved. If you have believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have believed on Him that He Jesus died and paid the price of my sin, and His blood covered me, and that He rose on the third day, and you believe all of that, and not just repeated some prayer, but you believe in your heart it was Jesus. I'm clinging on to what Jesus did, because what I could do could never be enough. Matter of fact, that's the whole thing that Paul's talking about in Galatians in 3 and 4. He's telling people, he said, Galatians, you're foolish. I told them yesterday, what if I came in here on Sunday morning? I said, foolish Christ fellowship attenders. I told him then, I said, we wouldn't be talking Pastor Appreciation Day. We'd be talking hanging from the highest tree out here. But Paul was so serious that he called it out, and he said, you're being foolish. He said, this thing started in the spirit. Y'all saw Jesus crucified. You saw it with your own eyes. He said, how is it that you're going back to other fleshly rudiments thinking that you can fulfill this thing, falling back into those things? And the rest of Galatians is just an amazing study. But it says that these two are always at war with each other, and it says it won't stop. As long as you're living in this body, it's not going to stop. But it said that that battle is fought out right here in the arena of my mind. It's not only fought there. The battle lines are drawn up in my mind. And I win or lose in my mind. That's why the mind has to be renewed. Right? I know it's review for a lot of you, and I'm not trying to get out of preaching to you this morning. But I'm telling you, that right there is worth keeping and knowing. The Bible says this. It says this about your body. It says your body is crying out for its day of redemption. The Bible, Corinthians calls it like this. It says your body's corruptible. It must lay aside this corruptible and put on the incorruptible. And because we get saved doesn't mean our body is incorruptible. It's still corruptible. We're still in that house and in that tent. One day we won't be, but as for now, we are. But this should help you to understand some things. My spirit is saved. My mind is being saved. I'm always renewing my mind in Christ. My body's not saved. So I have to especially watch my members, because it'll do whatever this is all scripture. If I have a spiritual mind, I will do spiritual things. If I have a fleshly mind, I will fulfill fleshly things. The mind produces cravings, desires. Desires are followed by my conduct. You can't just say, I'm going to fix my conduct, without understanding that conduct came from someplace. It came from desires and cravings inside of me, and that came from someplace. It came from this thing that's going on in my mind. So I can't just do something. I, The purpose of us meeting here on Sunday is not just for us to be a better me. It's for me to get the principles of what he did for me through his word and to cling to that and not to what I can do, even though there are things for me to do. The end of Galatians is going to talk about being free in Christ. What do you mean free? When I got saved, I'm free, but not just like free to do whatever I want to. Now I'm free to do the things that he has designed for me to do with a renewed mind. Now there's fruit that can be produced in my life that otherwise could not be produced, okay? All right, so I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're just going to look at that chapter. Lord, thank you for your word. You're so good to us. Thank you for this gathering of beautiful people that you created on this beautiful day that you created. And we've taken this time and said it's yours, Lord. So open our ears, open our hearts. Let our ears receive the seed of your word into good soil so that it will produce a harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter is preaching to Christians here. But this group of Christians, they're struggling because they're in the middle of persecution that's going on. And he says this. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, or to the sojourners in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. See that right there? To an inheritance that is incorruptible. The inheritance is incorruptible, but we're not. What we're going to get is incorruptible because we're not incorruptible yet. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is going to get real interesting in a minute. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This verse right here. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicated when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have been preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, I want to say it right here. Go back to verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Different translations. One calls it, this one, NKJV, calls it the end of your faith. Others call it the outcome of your faith. Others call it the end result of your faith. And one more translation, CSB, calls it the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. They follow it as the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So imagine right now that Miss Shirley is drowning and I'm the lifeguard and I take one of those floatable, you know, we call them the donuts with the rope tied to the end, and she's struggling and I throw her that donut and it lands perfect and she grabs onto it and I start pulling her in and I get her all the way to the ladder. Once we get her to the ladder, we help her get out of the water, and there she is on shore, not drowning anymore. When did salvation take place for her? Could you say that it was a process? I would say it was right there when she got the donut, crying out. But there was some time between then all the way to right here. Can I tell you what that is? That's your salvation started in a place that only you know, God knows for sure, but you're walking in it right now and you're in the process of it, and it will be completed one day when you are out of this life and dead, but eternally alive in Christ. That will be the ultimate salvation, because that'll be the completeness. It's completely done. And that's what I believe the scripture is talking about. He talks about receiving the goal of your faith. I believe that's a real thing. I believe it speaks to process in our life. And I believe that as soon as we are in a desperate enough place to realize I am in trouble without Almighty God, and I call out to Him, I believe salvation has come to me. But I also believe that there's a process that is taking place from then till I go home to glory. And I'm saved in that process. I believe that, but I believe that it is not God's will for me to walk through this life stumbling in my salvation, stumbling in my Christian walk. A matter of fact, I think it's 2 Peter that talks about, it's not 2 Peter, it's in Corinthians, where he talks about that our salvation, that we can reach a place in Christ where we're not always stumbling, to never stumble in Him. Has anybody ever stumbled in your Christian walk? You say, it's a real thing. I'm going to raise both hands and both feet. Because the truth is, we're not made perfect here. We are still in a dependent place in Him. We're still counting on His righteousness. I do not ever want to try to match His righteousness with my righteousness, because it'll be a colossal failure on my part. So I'm always counting and I'm believing on Him. But I believe that there's something that I can do and need to do and would actually be able to ward off many of the enemy's attacks against me if I simply continue reading and doing what the Word says as a believer. You get saved, you are not hands off from the enemy. I would say that you are more hands-on to attack you. Has anybody ever been attacked by the enemy? Yeah. So let's read on, verse 13. Therefore, so all of these things, I'm receiving the goal of my faith. Excuse me, the salvation of my soul. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins of your mind, the loins, biology lesson. Your loins are in association with the reproduction parts of your body and the eliminating parts of your body. And I've told you this before, that when it comes to the truth, it talks about the belt of truth in us. In other words, the area of our body that has to do with truth and has to do with elimination. And I told you this, I said, if you reproduce truth in your life, you will eliminate the lies. But if you reproduce lies, you will eliminate the truth. Does that make sense to you? And he's saying that we gird up the loins of our mind. So that tells me the loins have shifted from here to here. So there are things in my mind that need to be reproduced, because my mind is a reproducer. And my mind also has the ability to decide what is waste and elimination. Does that make sense to anybody? And it's saying, gird up the loins of my mind to be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in most of your conduct, to the best of your ability. When you feel like it, when nobody ticked you off, when nobody got on your nerves, otherwise you'll have a pass. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear. The time of your stay here in fear. That's putting it nicely. My life, my stay here. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. Yes, there was a price paid. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, I love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So verse 15 says this, as he has called you who is As he has called you who is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy means separated unto God. It means separated from sin. It means separated from all defilement. It means, according to this, you have the ability to cleanse yourself. You see that? You see that in Scripture? We have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves. We are not supposed to be dirty Christians. We're not supposed to let dirt remain in our mind. We're supposed to get it washed out. We're supposed to do those things actively, keeping our minds clean. You got one of them little cellular devices, you got every reason to keep your mind renewed. You got the easiest access in the world to any kind of nonsense right there at your fingertips. Every one of us has them, even down to the children, we have them. But to be holy is to be separated from sin. As we are separated from sin, we're consecrated unto God. It is a sacred thing that is taking place in our life. To cleanse ourselves from all defilement. That's what it means to be holy. To be forsaking sin. Living in a holy manner of life. Pure, sinless, upright, holy. It says that we were redeemed by precious blood. That means He placed a value on us. And the price was the blood of Jesus. And that was the plan. Does that move you? Does that humble you? So why, with that price that was paid, would I flirt with anything outside of being separated unto God? This is not a suggestion, folks. This is, do not mistake this for a suggestion. This is instruction for us that we live a holy life unto God. And you are responsible for you. And I am responsible for me. I have a mind. It is my responsibility to make sure that I am living my mind through the spiritual filter that He's given me instead of just whatever my body or my flesh wants to do. Whatever my mind wants to think about, I promise you this. You're going to have idle time. The enemy's going to really go after the idle time. I said something about, you know, your cellular device. What were we talking about? Was it refrigerators? Yeah. Life hits you, doesn't it? Our refrigerator went out. We were talking about our refrigerator. Guess what came up on the cellular device? Appliances. Well, how about that? Somebody's listening. Do you believe somebody's listening? I tell you, somebody's listening to your conversation. But that phone will not, I've yet to see it. When someone says, you know, I'm really struggling with sin right now, that phone's not going to say, try Jesus. I'd imagine something else is going to pop up because you had a weak place in your life. And, oh, here's you an opportunity to get your mind off of stuff, right? This is a real place that we live in. It is not His will for us to struggle. But it is our responsibility to fill our minds with the things of God. Amen. Christine, will you come? You could say, Pastor John, you must have really got sick last week and fried out part of your brain because you're usually just getting started right now. No, I think I've made a point enough this morning. You're responsible for what you put in. You have so many resources. If you can't think of something to think of, one of those other resources will make your mind up for you and try its best to interject. I've been trying to be very, I'm not trying to meddle or bind your business, but I'm just trying to tell you something's been helping me. I've been trying to be very circumspect about what I watch, what I listen to. It just came to me the other week that I was looking at something on my phone, and I was just doing this thing right here. You know what that is, right? Your children know what it is. Scrolling. And it just came to me just like a little whisper, like, you got time to scroll? You got time to read. You got time to put something about, you got a little idle time. How about a little invitation right here? I'm not trying to tell you to do something that I'm not trying to do. I want my mind to be filled because it needs to be. Because there's a war that's being played out between these two, and they're not getting along. And you'll win it right here. You'll win it right here. I'm going to ask you right now, if you'll just put your hand on your own head right now, just as symbolic of your mind, my mind, God. Lord, it's sobering to read your word. It's sobering to see what your word says, and when it talks about this time that I've got. I got a little bit of time here. I got a little bit of time right here to live this life. God, I can't do it on my own, and the enemy's going to attack my mind, and I need your strength in my mind. And I thank you that your word has given me things to set my mind on. You've given me things to think on. You've told me there are things to get out of my mind and to rid my mind from these things. But you've given me something to keep my mind on. And you've even promised a perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on you. God, help me that while I have this stay on earth, that my mind be stayed on you. Help me with that, Lord. I can't afford to lose this battle. And I have the promise of your word that says I won't lose this battle if I keep my mind stayed on you. That you've actually given me the ability in my mind to have the mind of Christ. Why would I let anything else defile that? God, I'm asking you to help me guard my mind against the distractions of the enemy, certainly against the attack of the enemy, and against idle times that I do not use my mind in an efficient manner. Because there are going to be times when my mind, because of the battle, my mind's just going to get tired sometimes. I'm going to have a tired mind. And God, you know how dangerous a tired mind is for us. So I ask you to strengthen the minds that are tired. In Psalm 23, you restore my soul. You make my mind not tired anymore. I'm asking you to do that for me, Lord. I'm asking you to make our minds not tired anymore. And God, I'm asking you to awaken our minds to be sober and to be vigilant, because there's an enemy that's after the territory of our mind. Kingdoms are established by territory, and the enemy is vying for the territory of our minds. I thank you, God. Set up a boundary. Help me to keep watch over the walls of the boundaries. I do not let the enemy sneak in. He's crafty. He will try it. His track record proves he will try it, he will try it, he will try it. Help me not to fail against the enemy, God. Help me to put my mind on the things of Christ, to think on the things that you've given me to think of, to surround my mind, to put into the atmosphere things that bring you praise, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. You're the Lord of my mind. Will you tell him that this morning? You're the Lord of my mind. And I thank you for your help. In Jesus' name.